Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see so many here to fellowship. And you know what the word fellowship means, don't you? You'll probably hear me say this a lot. It means sharing. Who said it? It means sharing. It's not a big secret of Greek words or anything. It simply means sharing. So we share our lives, we share our resources, we share our love, don't we? And we share our encouragement, like it was with Tina and Barbara this morning, just encouraging one another. So turn in your Bibles, would you please, to, let me turn my Bible on. Right, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. All right, okay, you've started the ball rolling. Thank you, that's cool. It's really good to have that. That's our passage this morning, and so keep it open in your Bibles. Oh, that is a true statement. Did you hear that? There's too much garbage on your phone. Whoa, yeah. I know there's AI and all of that, but that's really smart. Okay, let's turn our phones off and let's proceed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he writes, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you are bound to all, well, every good work." This is the word of God. Some of you will know that I've been having some interesting experiences after having cataract surgery on my right eye, and then glaucoma, where the pressures went up and up and up, and so I've had ongoing laser treatment, and now it's I've had 6 different eye drops all in the same day that I've had to put into this eye, and some tablets, and the tablets make me very sleepy, terribly so. So the other day I was holding a cup of tea and sitting on the sofa, and I momentarily fell asleep. Didn't spill the whole lot, but enough to wake me up again. So I've got a deal to have with you. If you promise not to fall asleep in my sermon, I'll promise not to fall asleep in my sermon too. So how's that? Let me just give you a little bit of background, because we need it to understand this passage. About a year before Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, the Second Corinthians, they had agreed to participate in a collection or an offering, a financial gift, for Jewish Christians who were suffering persecution and famine living in Jerusalem. And they'd begun to collect money, but as time went on, they had slackened off in their giving. And so Paul writes, he's urging them to pick it up again and not to slacken off, but to be earnest in their giving. And he says not only had they slackened off, but some other churches in the region had also joined the... Oh, where are we? No. Some other churches had joined in this giving. Churches in the region of Macedonia. So here's a map. You can see Italy here. You remember the boot and the soccer ball down there. Did you used to learn your geography that way? Here's Macedonia, where the Thessalonian church was, the Philippians church lived. And down here is Corinth. And the Corinth is collecting this money to send all the way, well, probably actually by boat, round here and off the map. But Jerusalem and Israel lie in this direction over here somewhere. Or maybe down here somewhere. Okay. You get the picture, I hope. The interesting thing is these people had pleaded with Paul. Can we be part of this too? It's quite unusual. And we read in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 4, Paul writes, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Can you imagine that happening today? Church is saying, look, we've heard you're giving to this need and that need. Could we please join you? Please, please, please. That's what they were doing. They begged Paul. And so they did. They joined in into this program of giving. I was thinking about some of today's churches, not only the mega churches, but so much money spent on lighting shows and big massive screens and smoke machines and $1 million laser shows, and just wonder how they would have fitted into Paul's day, whether they would have been pleading, can we join these other churches in giving away what we can to support the suffering saints in Jerusalem or wherever it was. Interesting. Would our church do that? Would we do that? Have done? Have been? Did once? But this is a... Yeah, anyway, moving on. I mean, just moving on. This is not a sermon to criticize or put down or say we ought. This is just the Word of God. And He, the Holy Spirit, can apply it to our hearts. There's no condemnation. Just a little bit of a twinkle and a smile and a... Yeah. So Paul didn't want to be embarrassed when they were sending a delegation from the Macedonian churches for Philippi and Thessalonica and so on. He didn't want to be embarrassed when they found the Corinthian Christians had become inward focused and had slackened off their giving. So he wrote this in chapter 9 verse 4 and 5. He writes again to the Corinthians. He's stirring them up. He's waking them up. Say, hey guys, others are coming in here. You've slackened off. This is not good. So, and he writes, for if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. We'd be embarrassed if they came and found you unprepared. That's what he's saying. And he uses the word embarrassed. See, Christians are called to be generous. Generosity really ought to mark our lives. The people who know us, if they said anything about us, they really ought to be saying, you know, he's a generous person, she's a generous person. Giving isn't commanded, it's assumed in this passage. It's not really anywhere in a sense that it's a command. Let's just kind of look on, read on. There are two ways to live and to give, right? We all give. I guarantee everyone in this room gives away something somewhere, sometime. Because it's in our nature, isn't it? You know, Christ in us, he just moves us to give when we see needs. But there are two ways to live and to give. We can do it sparingly. We can do it generously. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's farming talk, isn't it? If you sow a lot of seeds, you'll get a good harvest. If you sow pitifully few seeds, you'll get a small harvest. And it has nothing to do with your age or your income or your job or your marital status or your social standing or how much money's in the bank. Have you thought that? Thought about that? Giving a dollar can be generous. Giving $500 can be stingy. Depending on a dollar's all you've got, you give that, that's pretty generous. $500, if that's just a small fraction. You don't have to be on the rich list to be on the generous giver list. Right? And it's well known that actually that rich people give less than poor people. That's an established fact. Corinth, by the way, Corinth was the wealthiest city in the entire Roman Empire at time of writing. And they'd slackened off. The poorer nations, Thessalonica and up in Macedonia there, they were fighting to give. It's interesting. That's not Anthea and me, but it could have been, because we had an interesting experience, and I have told this story before, so forgive me. But we used to have a lot of fun actually, helping to collect for the Wellington City Mission. And so that could have been us, except no one took a photo of us. So, and we were collecting at the Wellington Airport one time, because we did it over several years. And it was really interesting. I mean, I'm interested in studying people, of course. A lot of us are. And so we're standing there right in a prominent place with our boxes and our, you know, dressed up to the nines. And in come all kinds of people. The smart, businessmen, collars and ties. We even saw a couple of politicians. They went straight past, carrying briefcases, not politicians now, just straight past, talking serious stuff to one another. And we're not allowed to say, hey, we're not allowed to say anything. We just stand there. Maybe shake the tin a little bit, you know. And it was really interesting. You know who gave? A lot of Pacific Island families. They stopped. They even went to the money machine to give. A lot of our Maori family gave. Not a single collar and tie person gave anything. Just saying. Delia, I hope this is okay, but I didn't ask permission, Tam and Delia, to talk about you. Can I do it? Yes, thank you. But they reminded us in the seniors meeting this week how way back, a long time ago, when we were all at Life City Church, I can't remember it actually in any detail, but there must have been someone knocking on the door of the church or some homeless who came and said, can you help? Can you help me? A lot of people come to the church asking for money, and you try not to give money because it can go on, you know, where it shouldn't, drugs and things. And Delia was saying on Thursday how she remembers me phoning them, you took this person in, gave them a shower, probably fed them, and sent them on there. It wasn't appropriate that they stay overnight. That wasn't necessarily safe. But how you blessed and gave not your money, but your hearts and your time and your love to two people. What a wonderful way to be generous, generous-hearted. Not everyone can do that kind of thing. Why we didn't help them was because we had a house full of little kiddies. God loves a cheerful giver, not a rich giver, but one who holds their finances carefully and somewhat loosely. We don't pass the offering bag around now. Sometimes I think I miss that, but that's fine. But I've heard of a type of offering where you get your wallet out or your purse out and you give it to the next person, and they take out they take out the money and they give it. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Do you know what? Parents, if you're a parent or you've got grandparents and that, and if you can, it can be a lot of fun, especially with the internet available, teaching about giving to those who are less fortunate than we are. Now we Anthea and I really have been blessed by being able to go to Myanmar for I don't know how many, 12 years, something like 14 for you, years in a row, and being able to go there. But you know, you can't, a lot of you have been overseas and you've seen, you know, Christians, Gary and Jude, you know how it is, and the needs are so great, you know. Friend of mine, pastor friend, just wrote this week, 2 weeks ago, about from Myanmar, saying one of their converts, a woman, she came to Jesus, asked Jesus to be her savior, and she was immediately kicked out of home. So she had nowhere. She would become a beggar. So the church, because she's a single woman now, the church needs to support her. And so they built her a little rough shelter, bamboo kind of nipa hut. There you go. That's her lot in life. No welfare, but it can be a lot of fun. Not just a burden, but make it a joy, because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And involving your kids and getting into a project. You know, you can, of course, that you can buy a goat now, can't you? Or buy a camel at Christmas time, sending money, and they'll buy the camel for you, or you can have a well dug in a village, all sorts of things. Fantastic. See these two children, they are living in India, and they're living in a large sort of hostel situation, really, run by the Ramabai, Pandita Ramabai Mukti Mission. And why Anthea and I like them is that, firstly, it's run from New Zealand, there is a New Zealand branch registered with the government, and they do not take a single percentage, nothing, out of donations, because they're all run by volunteers. And so when we give a monthly support to these two gorgeous kids, 100% of our support goes to them. And Gary? Yeah, you knew that, Anthea? I didn't, so thank you. Freedom Mission. And that's the other thing, totally Christian. So some organisations, and I'm not going to name any, but some that are Christian-based have to curtail their Christian witness because of where they are, or because they won't get government help if they speak out too much about Christianity. But not, fine, you can find a mission. The Christian Blind Mission is another one. They are 100% Christian. And so we can be generous in loving and supporting things like this. Can you imagine God being stingy? I was just on my computer this morning looking for a slide to put up. Creation is so wonderful. Go to the deep sea fish, or the birds or butterflies or whatever it is, the beauty and the color and the richness and the wow of creation tells us that he's a generous God. I mean, he just didn't create everything in black and white, but in technicolor. And I can't imagine God being stingy, and he calls us to be givers, to be loose-handed, to be giving away Christians. See, there is an Old Testament background to this chapter, to this giving, and I thought it would be worth just quickly reading it to you. Because under Old Testament law, every 7 years in the nation of Israel, they had to give back any money that they had. Hang on, let me get it the right way around. If they had lent money to someone, they had to forgive that and wipe the debt off. They had to cancel all debts. And so in Deuteronomy 15 and verse 7, what is up there? Can you read that? He said, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Do you get that? This picture, be open-handed. It's again, it's like, you know, I have something to give, and I'm not just going to hold tight and pull out this and that. It's a picture of, well, there it is. I'm not grasping what I have. It's just held loosely. It's open-handed. And if God wants me to give the whole lot, I would give the whole lot. But I'm not under compulsion. I'm invited to freely give. And so what was once done only in 7 years in the Corinthian church in the New Testament is now being promoted as something you just do it all the time. When you see a need, it was voluntary missionary giving. It was, by the way, just why I call it missionary, a missionary offering, because it was to a foreign land. It was to the nation of Israel, whereas these people were living in a different place. And it was to Jewish believers, so it was a different culture. These were Gentiles. They in Jerusalem, they were Jews. And the aim of giving was a more even spread of resources. I've heard people say we should give to local needs, you know, missions, you know, let them care for themselves. And we just, you know, this is our mission field and we should give and, you know, support local missions. Well, it doesn't have to be a choice. I think, though, personally, where the need is greatest, you can't walk down outside a hospital as I did once in, I think it was in the Philippines, and the doors open and people lying on the floor. And, you know, the need is so great. In 2 Corinthians 8:13, our desire is not that others might be relieved, Paul writes, while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. That's the heart of Christian generosity. Be generous so that there's equality. So that, you know, I mean, how did we get to be born in New Zealand? You know, did we do something prior to being born? Or what? How come we weren't born in Pakistan where they're persecuting Christians, or indeed in India where Christians are suffering greatly, being killed and worse, sometimes being killed as the merciful things that are being done. This couple, Kevin and Jenny, know very well because they've befriended them along with us, but they're in Myanmar. And he was one of the students that I taught English to so many years ago now, probably 15 years ago. And we've kept in touch, and he's a wonderful evangelist and pastor. But he wrote to me with a personal need, and this is what he said. He wrote on the 20th of March this year, he wrote, "Dear Phil and Anthea, greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Hopefully you are all doing well. May the Lord our God be with you. Though we have not a chance to meet this year, hopefully next year. By the grace of God, we are also doing well. Our church and ministry is also going well. Phil, I've been suffering with an anal fistula for almost 2 years. You can look it up. I'm not in pain, but the pus is always coming out and it's really uncomfortable. I need to use cotton and tissues and rags, especially in hot season. Last Saturday I met with the doctor and he said it must have surgery or it will get worse. So I decided to have surgery on 20th of March. It will cost around about New Zealand dollars, 1,000. What would you do if you got that letter? He didn't directly ask for help, but indirectly he is. We've got that kind of relationship. So what would you do? He hadn't got $1,000. Probably nor of you. So, or hang on a minute. Could you get $1,000 if your life depended on it this week? If it was life and death, you were going to die unless you had this real urgent little quick operation and you needed $1,000. Could you get it? Probably. Well, nod your head, shake your head, do something, yeah? I'd get it. Wouldn't be in the bank, but I'd visit the bank. Or I'd do what I've done before, you know, phone a few friends. He can't do that. For most of the time we visited Myanmar, there were no banks. Well, for the answer of what happened, you can ask me afterwards. Last Christmas, Anthea and Royce had a display in the foyer, giving people a chance to give several great gifts to organisations like the Christian Blind Mission or Ramabai Mukti Mission or several other missions. And some of you took advantage of that. Because Christmas is Jesus' birthday. So we tell our grandkids, you don't get a present from us at Christmas time. It's not your birthday. So we do it for birthdays. Christmas time, we wrap up little boxes with nothing in them, but they look pretty, and we write to the Mukti Mission, or to the Christian Blind Mission, or whatever it might be. And we put those under we don't even have a tree, but we put them around our little display of Jesus in the manger. And those are our gifts to him. Not telling you that to think, that's great. But just as an idea, just we want to sow ideas. We want to see us together as the church being a little bit like the Corinthians church, where we can be stirred up about, hey, maybe we've just slacked off a bit in our missionary giving. Let me just bring this to a conclusion. Giving is not to be under compulsion. It's voluntary. It's not to be stingy. It seems to me that this is saying, if you're stingy, don't bother. So if you're a mumbling, grumbling giver, leave your money in your wallet. Kind of. Yeah, just finally then, we are blessed to be a blessing, aren't we? God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You notice this doesn't say that as you give, you get more and more and more and you get rich. is saying, as you give, God will give to you so that you can keep giving, so that you can abound in every good work. And I believe that as God trusts you in our giving, that what he gives us, we don't just absorb in our own needs, but we are open-handed. So he trusts us with more. Godliness with contentment is great gain, Paul writes to Timothy. I was going to say, I think I've used up my time. I'm going to say, yeah, it's not about prosperity books. Someone in my family gave me this book, Born to be Blessed. And yeah, it's okay, but I'd rather read a book called Born to be a Blessing. So, the worship team, could you come up, please? This has deliberately been a very, what I call, sermon light. L-I-T-E. Just something light, but with heavy meaning, but just something to take home, talk about, pray about, consider, and then hopefully to act on. And I'm really hopeful that Christmas is coming, as it comes again, that we might again have a little table out there giving you who want to some options for sending some mission gifts. So be wise and find a way to give that will bless and build God's church. Don't stockpile the blessings that come back from God to you, but continue to give what you decide in your heart to give, and do it with some hilarity, some joy and laughter. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Amen.